Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of God today. It's time to look to the word of the Lord. I'm basing a few messages as the Lord leads me out of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Revelation 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Let's say it with a loud voice together this morning. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Seven things are mentioned there that the Lamb is worthy to receive. And today we're going to look at the riches. Last week we looked at power. Blessed is the Lamb to receive power. And we understand from the scriptures that power has to do with the kingdoms, the nations of the earth, the peoples of earth. And how, since Jesus Christ was resurrected and enthroned in the heavens, the nations have been gathering unto him. He is gathering the nations. The Father said to him in Psalm 2 and verse 8, "Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen as your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." And aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ has been gathering a people out of every tribe and kindred and tongue from all nations of the earth and all ethnicities, and we are part of those nations. Jesus Christ, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, to receive the kingdoms of this world. Revelation 11:15 says, "There's a day coming where the seventh trumpet will sound." That will signal the end of the age, the coming of Jesus Christ. The seventh trumpet will sound, and the shout will go forth. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will have gathered all people out of the earth unto himself that have chosen to follow his will and surrender their lives to his name and to his grace. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Because of the cross, because of the blood, we are being gathered to the presence of Jesus Christ. Sins forgiven, righteous and holy, and spending eternity with our precious Lord. Well, today, blessed is the Lamb to receive riches. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches. The Lamb is worthy to receive our silver and gold. He's worthy to receive our finances, the money we have in our lives, the possessions we have. Worthy is the Lamb to receive riches. We spend our money in many ways, in many places, on many things. We give our money out to many people. But if there's one person that is worthy to receive our money and our finances, it is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And what a joy it is to bring our tithes and our offerings and our alms and present our finances to the Lord, because the Lamb is worthy to receive riches. Psalm 96 and verse 8 says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Bring an offering and come into his courts of praise." Come into his house. Bring an offering. Deuteronomy 16:16. In Old Testament days, three times a year, the Lord said, "All your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now, we live in the spiritual fulfillment of the feasts. And the Bible says, blessed are those who understand the symbolism of the feasts, because we live in the power of Passover, for Jesus Christ, our Passover, was crucified for us. And the Bible says, let us keep the feast. That's our born-again experience. We partake of the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the endowment of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural language flows out of us. We've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, because that's the great feast of joy and wine. That was the feast where the people, once they had followed God, they'd come out of barrenness and out of a wilderness experience, and now where they were blessed to the Lord with wonderful provision. And because of that, they kept this Feast of Tabernacles. We have been blessed to the Lord. We live in the power of the feast. And the Bible says, when we come up to the presence of the Lord, There shall not one, they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Deuteronomy 26, 5 to 10. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us, the Egyptians, our life in the world. Then we cried out to the Lord, God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and on our labor and on our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of sin. He brought us out from under Satan with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. That's our testimony as well. I was a Syrian. I was an unsaved man. I was under bondage of sin. I was under the oppression of the enemy. I was hard-pressed, laboring in this life, under the powers of darkness. But the Lord came and he delivered us with a mighty outstretched arm. He set us free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders and the miracles of the Lord began to manifest in our lives. And now I come and I bring my offerings to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I was ready to perish, but you rescued me. I'm so thankful for what you did to me. I'm bringing my silver and I'm bringing my gold. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches. The offering brought in that portion was the first fruits. It was the first of the harvest. It was a particular kind of offering to the Lord. And in practical terms, we can give first fruits today. How do we give first fruits today, the first of a harvest to come? Well, it works like this. When you get a raise in pay, let's say you get $100 a month increase in pay, and it's going to continue month after month. That first month you say, I'm taking this first fruits, this first $100, and I'm putting it into the house of the Lord. I'm giving it to the Lord because it is a sign of a great harvest to come. Month after month, that $100 is going to keep coming, but I want to give a first fruits to the Lord. In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. God says, when I deliver you out of sin and bondage, out of the world system, when you get saved and born again, I will not let you go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. God says, when you go out, I'm going to give you silver and gold, and I'm going to give you garments, and I'm going to give you provision. You will plunder the Egyptians. And the women went and asked, and we'll see in the next verse, the men asked as well. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to ask. God wants us to ask in prayer so we can receive the finances and the blessing of God in our life. When these people went out of Egypt that night, they took a mighty plunder of the Egyptian world, silver and gold and garments, all the best things of Egypt the people of God took with them as they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But it was not fraud. There was no deceit. There was no dishonesty because those people had worked for years as slaves under the Egyptians and under the oppression, and they had not been paid their due. And God says the laborer is worthy of his hire. And God said, in one night, I'm going to give you the back pay. I'm going to give you the back wages of all those years where you labored and weren't paid properly. In one night, I'm going to release you with silver and gold. He said, women ask. Women ask. In Exodus 11:2, speak now in the hearing of the people. Speak now in the hearing of the people. If anyone has an ear to hear this morning, let him hear. Speak in the hearing of the people and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And how beautiful is Psalm 105:37. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among the tribes. God brought us out. He redeemed us. That's our born-again experience. He brought us out from under the power of darkness. He brought us out with silver and gold. That's his finances. That's the money. That's the provision for our life. And there was not a feeble one among the tribes. That's the promise of physical healing for our lives. People came out and they blessed their sons and their daughters. And they blessed the house of God. Because it wasn't long after, in Exodus 25 and 1, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." From everyone who gives it willingly. God says, I want to build a house. I want to build a sanctuary. This is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Let them make me a house that I may dwell among them. We know what the house is in New Testament terms because the Apostle Paul made it very clear on the pages of the New Testament in 1 Timothy 3 that we are the house of God. We are a people builded together by the Lord. And we are the ones who now provide for the house, for the ministry, for the facilities, for the missions work, for all the needs of the house of God and for the kingdom of our Lord. God says, I want you to make me a sanctuary. Build me a house. Build me a people in which I can manifest my glory and through whom I can do my will in the earth. Said, let them bring me an offering, everyone who is willing. And I look at that scripture and I say, how could we not be willing in light of all that the Lord has done for us? He's redeemed us. He's saved us. He's brought us out of Egypt. We are set for eternity with him. He's blessed our lives abundantly. How could we not be willing to give him tithes and offerings and alms? Because those are the channels of the Lord. Those are the avenues by which we bless the Lord. About a year and a half ago, Deborah and I were in a set of meetings in another place, and prophet of the Lord, who we know well, Charlie Sweet, that time we had not met him personally, but he ministered over our lives, and he began to prophesy many things, and then he said these words. He said, the debt is going to come off the people, and then the debt is going to come off the house. The debt is going to come off the people, and then the debt is going to come off the house of God. And I listened to that, and I thought, that's different. I thought maybe the debt should come off the house and then, you know, then the debt will come off the people. But the Lord has it the other way around. He says, I'm going to bless my people. The debt is going to come off the people. I'm going to give them finances. They're going to prosper in the earth. And then the debt will come off the house. God says, I'll give you silver and gold and clothing. I want you to clothe your families, and I want you to bless your sons and daughters. But I will also require of you that my house and my kingdom will be built in the earth. So let everyone bring an offering who has a willing heart. Build me a sanctuary so I can dwell among you. Hallelujah. Now, how do we give our offerings to the Lord? The Bible speaks in threes, and it's through tithes, offerings, and alms. Tithes are 10% of our income that belongs to the Lord. The Lord has laid a legitimate claim on that finance. It's not ours. It's his. If we have a job, part-time, whatever, you make $10,000 a year, $1,000 of that belongs to the Lord. It does not belong to you. It does not belong to me. If you make $50,000, $5,000 belongs to the Lord. $100,000, $10,000 belongs to the Lord. That's the tithe. That's his legitimate portion. And Malachi said, if we take that to ourselves, we are robbing the Lord. We are stealing from God. We are thieving from the Lord. He says, that tithe belongs to the Lord. And God says, I will bless you as you bring in the tithes and the offerings. This morning, if you're a new Christian, you need to follow all the commandments of the Lord. As the Bible says, you begin tithing this week, 10% goes to the Lord. And if you've walked with God for many years, but you have not tithed and you have not been not faithful to the Lord in this aspect, then this morning, repent of your sin. Repent of your sin and say, from this day forward, the Lord will receive the tithe. He will receive 10% of my giving, because worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches. He redeemed me. He bought me out of sin. I'm not my own. I belong to Him, and He will receive tithes of all. Offerings are gifts over and above the tithe, according to the prosperity and ability of the giver. Some people can give more offerings because they have a greater financial capacity to do that. And then there are the alms, which are a specific type of offering, again, but they are gifts to the poor and needy, to orphans and children in the world and widows and people in our own nation, in our own house at times that face financial struggle and difficulty. That's the almsgiving. Tithes, offerings, and alms are the way that we give riches unto the Lamb. Hallelujah. I have a date etched in the margin of one of my old preaching Bibles. The date is May 5th, 1996. A Sunday, May 5th, 1996. The founding pastors of this church, Al and Bev Forsyth, transitioned this church to Deborah and myself in 1985. And there was a dip of attendance in the transition, and then the house of God stabilized and began to develop and grow, and there was some increase. We added staff and made sure we gave our tithe to the missions. 10% of the income of the church went to missions. That was kind of a guideline for us, and other things that we could do. But basically, from 1985 to 1996, the church finances were very stationary. The church grew, but there was always, it seemed, only sufficient to do what we needed to do. The needs that came, ministry that was needed, but there was never any extra. In fact, we had very little, if we had any, in a building fund. And yet the Lord would put this vision in our heart to increase ministry and dreams and visions of what perhaps He'd have for us in the future, but there were no finances for that. In May 5th, just before that day, a few days before that Sunday, in my normal praying and seeking the Lord, I heard a word from the Lord in my spirit, a rhema word, a quickened word, and it was this: for brass I will give you gold. For brass I will bring gold. And I didn't even know where it was in the scripture at that point, and I went to Concordance, I looked it up, there it was, Isaiah 60, verse 17. For brass I will bring gold. And it went on to talk about, you know, for iron, silver, and for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. But that phrase, for brass I will give gold, and something happened. I went to the pulpit that Sunday. I didn't say a word to anybody. I went up before the offering, and I said, I want to read Isaiah 60 and verse 17 this morning, and I read it out, and I prayed over it, and we received the offering. And the offering that morning was four times the normal amount. And from that point on, the offerings did not drop. They stayed at that level and increased, so much so that in the next 7 or 8 and up to 10 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars came into our building fund, and millions of dollars came into our building fund, so that we stand today in this facility, in the ministry and capacity today, and we stand on the word of the Lord and on a miracle of God. No word of God is without power. The Bible says no word of God is without power. When God gives you a word, you can believe that word because that word has power in it. Well, we've been in this facility now for 7 years, paying some mortgage down and trying to be faithful to the many areas of ministry and missions work across the nations of the earth, and we've always just had sufficient. But year 7 has ended, and last month it ended, and now we're into year 8, and year 8 is the number of new beginnings. And God has put it in my heart and spirit and in many of you that we begin to believe God again, that hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars will flow through this place in the years to come to establish another generation in the will of God, to expand the ministry and do the work of the Lord in the earth. How many can say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb to receive riches. Worthy is the Lamb to receive riches. God will blow His Spirit upon businesses and upon families and upon finances, because worthy is the Lamb to receive riches. The Lamb that was slain. Because the Lord knows He needs finances to touch this earth with the gospel and to send out ministry and to touch people's lives with the power of God. It takes finances across the nations. Let's turn to Genesis 14. Genesis 14. Account of Abraham. We'll begin at verse 11, but let me set the story. Genesis 14 is the account where four kings of nations came against five kings of the Dead Sea area, the Jordan Valley, and they were the kings of, the five kings that were under attack were the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and three other small cities. It's usually just grouped together under that name and title. So there are five kings that were under attack. Now, these four kings were powerful. They had already plundered other nations and countries, and now they came upon this region of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they said, we're going to take this and plunder this place. And they did. In verse 11 of Genesis 14, it says, then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, that is Lot, his nephew, Lot had made some unwise decisions. He was a compromised Christian, we would say. He had allowed himself to slip into the life of Sodom, Gomorrah, those cities, the immorality, the spirit of those cities. And yet the Bible says in another portion that his righteous soul was vexed every day with the unlawful deeds that were all about him. His righteous soul was vexed, but he never took himself out. He never said, I've come into this place by my own choice, and I'm going to make a decision. My soul is vexed with everything I see. I'm going to go back and serve God with all my heart. And one of the reasons was that his daughters, his own family now, had settled down, and they liked the lifestyle. So much so that years later, when God had to bring his judgments on Sodom and Gomorrah, some of his children didn't make it out. And his wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. But when Abraham heard, this was former times now, when Abraham heard that his nephew Lot had been taken captive, and his family and the people and the provision of these lands, it says he armed his 318 trained servants. He had some warriors. He had some warriors who were filled with the power of God, and the armor of God was on them, and the high praises of God were in their mouth. Those who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan, traveled up north. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. This is almost 200 miles. This is 300 kilometers that Abraham, on foot and donkeys, pursued these enemies. With him were those who were allies with him, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner. Says he divided his forces against them at night. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods. Abram brought back all the goods that had been plundered out of those five cities. He also brought back his brother Lot with his goods. as well as the women and the people. Because in those days when a nation overtook a nation, they killed the men usually in time, and they took the women and all the young ones as servants and slaves. Abraham brought back all. One man, 318 servants, warriors, a few men confederate with him, going up against these four kings who were mighty, and God gave a great deliverance into his hand. Now let's look at the next verse. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand." My, what a word. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Blessed be Abraham of God Most Mighty, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. Abraham gave him 10% of all the spoils of war. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.' Except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." Now we all know who Melchizedek is. Jesus Christ our Lord. Whether he was a real high priest of Salem, later Jerusalem, is unclear, but we know that Hebrews 7 identifies him. And he says, "This Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, without beginning of days, without end of days, without genealogy, without beginning, without ending, without father, without mother, he who abides a priest continually because he lives in the power of an endless life. This is Jesus Christ our Lord." And Melchizedek came before Abram, and Melchizedek said, Jesus Christ came and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High. The Lord has delivered your enemies into your hand. The possessor of heaven and earth has delivered provision into your hand." And Abram responded, he fell to his knees and he gave him tithes of all. He worshiped. 10% is yours. This belongs to you. These riches are yours. You won this victory. We all know who the king of Sodom is. King of Sodom is Satan. The devil was speaking through the king of Sodom, and he was tempting Abram. He says, "Abram, I'll take the people, but you take all the goods. You take all the plunder to yourself." Abram at that moment had wealth at his fingertips, more silver and gold than he could ever use, more finances, more provision, men servants and maid servants too if he would have asked for them. And Abram said, see, the king of Sodom spoke up just after Abraham had given tithes of all. And Abram said, "No, I've lifted my hand, I've raised my hand in covenant oath to God Most High. He is my blesser. He is my possessor. He is my deliverer. And I will not take a sandal strap from you. I will not take a thread from a garment, lest you would say, 'I have made you rich.'" He said, "King of Sodom," he said, "Devil, I don't want your money. I'm not in league with you. I'm not in covenant with you. I walk under the Lord God of heaven, and he can bless me when he wants to, and how he wants to, and if he wants to. My life is in his hands. My life is in his hands." Say, "Pastor Ron, do you play the lottery? Do you buy lotto tickets? Do you buy 50-50 tickets at a sporting event or some entertainment?" No. "Well, couldn't you use the money?" Most everybody could use more money. Pay down debt, help pay off the church mortgage, expand the ministry, increase the mission work in the earth. But I don't buy lotto tickets and I don't gamble and I never will for two reasons. Number one, because it is one of the most wicked and oppressive and degrading systems that could ever come into a land. And now our government is addicted to it. But the real reason I don't play the lottery is because I don't want the devil's money. I don't want the devil's money in my life. I don't want the devil's money in my family. I don't want the devil's money in my family's future. I'm a son of Abraham, and I too have raised my hands to the Lord in covenant oath. And I said, you're my blesser, and you're my possessor, and you're the one who has delivered the enemy in thy hands. And whatever you give me, surely I will give the tenth back to you. I'm in covenant with you. You can bless me however you want and however you choose to bless me in this life. About almost 20 years ago now, I was invited to speak at a well-established church on the West Coast, Lower Mainland, BC. I'm turning 65 this week, so that was in my mid-40s. I didn't travel out in ministry until I was 39 years of age by a very definite word from the Lord that came to me in 1981, and the doors closed, and when God shuts a door, no man can open it. But when I was 39, I guess God decided it was time to open the door, and since then, no man has been able to shut it. But it was in those early years when I started to travel out on occasion, and I was invited to this church in the Lower Mainland, and I can tell the story now because the people involved are retired and out of the ministry as such. And it was a tremendous opportunity, well-established church, pastor friend that I knew, senior man. And so I went with anticipation. What really happened was we were attending a conference that week, and so our church here in Edmonton had paid the airfare and accommodations for a hotel. And this pastor said, listen, while you're out here, I'd love to have you stay and minister over in the Sunday services morning and evening. And I said, it'd be an honor. I'd be glad to. And so I preached Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And it's customary for visiting ministries at the end of the day when it's time to fellowship for the night that you're presented with an honorarium. And this pastor came to me, again, this is a good-sized church, reputable, well-known. He came to me and said, Pastor Ron, I don't have the honorarium prepared. It'll be in the mail. I said, hey, no problem. That's fine. Sure, whatever you can do. And so I came home and I thought, my, I could really use that honorarium. I was already envisioning what it probably was because this was, an influential church. And here I was, I had expenses and two teenage sons and the costs of that. And my, I was really looking forward to this nice honorarium. Probably 2-3 days and the honorarium will be in. And then a week went by and 10 days went by. And then 2 weeks later, there it was, there on my desk was the envelope. It came in the mail from this church and I was kind of excited. I opened it up to see this size of this honorarium, and when I opened up and looked at it, my heart sank because it was so small. Perhaps the smallest honorarium I've ever received in my life. And I remember I put my hands on my desk and I put my head down and tears came to my eyes. And after a couple minutes, I lifted my eyes and I said, Lord, I serve you. I serve you. And you can pay me whatever you want, if you want, whenever you want, and how much you want. And I typed out a letter to this pastor, thanked him for the kind invitation. He didn't offer to pay any airfare, no other travel expenses, and this tiny little honorarium. And I thanked him for his hospitality and generosity, and thank you for the honorarium. And I found out something, that God doesn't always pay his workers the day they work, but that he will pay his workers for their work. And that we can trust the Lord that if we are his servants and we walk in covenant with him, he will see that our lives are blessed and prospered by his hand and in his ways. You know what that did? That was a test. I didn't see it as a test, but I believe it was a test. But that so set me free. From that day till now, when I go and minister and preach and serve, honorarium, no honorarium, you forgot to pay my travel expenses, and this has happened a number of times. But you know, it doesn't matter to me. I just smile and I praise the Lord because I know that somewhere, somehow, if the Lord wants to reward me for that labor, he knows how to do it, and it'll be in his timing, and it'll be in his way, and he makes all things beautiful in his time. And if he doesn't want to pay me, that's wonderful too, because then I have an opportunity to give something to the Lord without receiving benefit back on every occasion. That too is a gift to give unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've lifted my hand to the Lord in covenant oath. You're my blesser. You are the possessor of heaven and earth. You can put silver and gold into my hands anytime you want at your discretion. And you are my deliverer. You have delivered all my enemies into my hand. And I stand in the beauty of your presence, in the liberty of a child of God and of a son of God. Abram said to the king of Sodom, worship team, come. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I'm not going to touch any of that silver or gold, any of that plunder. Said, I'm not going to take even the thread of one of those fine garments of those kings. I'm not going to even take a shoelace from a warrior's boot because I only want one person blessing me, and that is the God of heaven. He can bless me however he wants. He can bless me through occupation and enterprise and inheritance and business and opportunity, but that's the only one that I want blessing me. You know what the Bible says in Genesis 24:1? And the Lord blessed Abraham. And the Lord blessed Abraham. This was from heaven. This was divine. The Lord put his hand on Abram's life and said, yes, I am your blesser, and I possess all things, and I'm your deliverer, and I choose to bless you. And the Lord had blessed Abram so much that verse 25 of that chapter says he was rich in silver and gold and possessions and men servants and maid servants and flocks and herds. And Genesis 25:11 says, and the Lord blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac was blessed of the Lord. And Genesis 35 and verse 9 says, and the Lord blessed the grandson, Jacob, and he was blessed of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The Lord blessed them. The Lord blessed them. The Lord blessed them. The hand of God came on those patriarchs of the faith. God wanted them to know that he was the blesser of his people and that he would bless down through the generations. And those young sons walked. That son Isaac and that grandson Jacob walked in the same spirit and faith of their father Abraham. They said, we're going to give tithes of all. we too raise our hand in covenant to God of heaven. We will serve the Lord. So much so, you read it in the scripture. You know what was true of Isaac? It was Jacob who said it. He said, Lord, of all you give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Isaac was blessed and Jacob was blessed. Genesis 26, there was famine in the land. And people were scattering, trying to find other places for their flocks and pasturage. And you don't sow in famine time. But the Lord said to Isaac, you stay here where I put you in this famine. I want you to stay here. And the Bible says Isaac sowed in that land that year and reaped a hundredfold because of the blessing of the Lord. And we all know of the dream of Jacob, how that he had nothing and he'd served his uncle Laban for 20 years and his wages had been changed 10 times and he'd been cheated. And here he was with his family, many sons and daughters, and he was on in years and yet he had nothing. But all of a sudden one day the Lord gave him a dream and he saw the dream of the cattle reproducing, and all of a sudden, all his sheep and cattle and goats began to produce, speckled and spotted and ring-streaked, and it wasn't long that he walked in the abundance of God so that he had provision known among the men of the earth of that day. God blessed Abraham, God blessed Isaac, and God blessed Jacob. God blessed those sons, Isaac, and the grandson, Jacob, because God wanted them to know that he's not only the God of Abraham, but he's the God of Isaac, and he is the God of Jacob. God said, I don't want people looking at Isaac and Jacob and saying, oh yeah, well, they've had an easy life. They have possessions because their dad had money. Their dad prospered. God says, I want to show every generation that I am the God of finance, that I am the God of blessing, that I am the God of provision. He said, I'm going to give to Isaac, and I'm going to give to Jacob, and they are going to prove my truth in their own lives, because I'm a God that walks down the generations till Jesus Christ comes again. Genesis 14 and 19, blessed be Abraham, blessed be Abraham. Hallelujah. Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, El Elyon, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. How many say this morning, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and to receive riches, to receive our offerings, to receive our silver and our gold. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's stand together today. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. He's our blesser. He's our possessor. He's our deliverer, isn't he? His promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that promise goes down to every valid son and daughter of God. And we stand in the spirit of faith and spirit and faith of Abraham, and we stand in the obedience of Abraham, and we're here today in covenant oath that we give our tithes to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and therefore we stand in his timing to receive whatever he wants to give us in this life, when he wants to, how he wants to, and what he wants to. So let's receive of the Lord this morning. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Receive the promise of God.